Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Rachel Abdi.
Good morning. Well, this morning is Run the Race, so let's talk some more about the theme of Run the Race, the theme for this year. Thank you, Michael. Pastor Andrew introduced the theme to us at the end of last year in December for this year. And one of the things he said about running the race for this year was to be selfish with what we carry. We've been commanded to preach and make disciples. So take what we carry, like, seriously, it's valuable. And it's valuable enough to share with others and to centre our lives around it. He spoke a lot about discipleship and evangelism, and that's sort of what I want to share a bit about this morning. I've sort of been surprised where I felt the Lord lead me in preparing for this morning's message. Particularly it has a bit about evangelism, and I've never spoken about evangelism before. I struggle to live out evangelism in my own life as a Christian, and I'm sure many of you can relate to that. So I was surprised to feel that that's sort of where I want to share a little bit with you this morning. So I encourage you to have an open mind. And I want to talk a bit about choosing to run the race, which Steve sort of touched on in worship as well, about making the choice to run the race, our race. We're all part of the same race. Like, we're all actually part of becoming better disciples and sharing His goodness, sharing the good news with others. That doesn't change for any of us. It's really sort of what we're all called to do. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist. But at the same time, each of us has our own individual lives and choices we make and talents and gifts. So you could argue we have our own lane of the same giant race. Or I like to think that we all have different finish lines to the same race that we're all in. And maybe you have obstacles in your lane that others don't have. So it's individual because we're all individual. But at the end of the day, the race we all can choose to run is the same race of sharing the good news with others. In Philippians 3, a lot of what I'm sharing this morning is Paul. Paul has written. In Philippians 3:13, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So my message this morning isn't a testimony exactly, and it's not any sort of success story about what evangelism looks like in my life. But as Christians, we all are part of the same race and we are all called to make disciples of others. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, that we're all called to do works of evangelism. I like to think of the picture of the race that Pastor Andrew and Becca put together for this year. I like the lanes. I like the way it looks. I like the picture of running the race. That just makes sense for me in my head. So maybe this year there's a picture or a thought or a word that sort of makes sense to you when you think about the topic of running the race. Because running the race is a choice that we get to make. This is not part of our salvation. Choosing to run the race Christ has set before us is not about salvation. It's not about a place in heaven. It's not about becoming righteous with God. It doesn't get you to salvation. The race has really nothing to do with that, in my opinion, what I read. The race only ever starts once we become a Christian. Your race starts to become more Christ-like and draw others to Christ once you become a Christian. And if Christ is in your heart and you've invited Him into your heart, then the choice is yours to run the race or to not run the race. And you can, either choice is fine. I'm not saying you, like, it's not up to me to decide what anybody's choice is, because each of our race, you can't make judgments about what somebody else does anyway. So you don't know if somebody else is making a choice to run their race or not run theirs. But it's about our own choices that we make. Like, where do you feel your heart is with Christ this year to run the race or to maybe not? Did you maybe last year and felt like you stopped? Or do you remember doing it 20 years ago? You felt like you did make that decision, that sacrifice? Or do you feel like that's something you want to do this year? I encourage you to consider that. Like I said, I don't want us to compare ourselves to other Christians. Maybe we could all, maybe think about us all in our own lane, but the goal for us all is the same. So maybe the finish line or the obstacles in front of us are different. We're not in competition with anybody else. So as opposed to looking at the picture of running a race and how that actually looks, or analogy of any sorts of sports, we don't compete with any other Christian. We're not competing with anybody else. The invitation at the start of this year isn't to try and control the year ahead, but just run the race that's been set before each of us. It's a choice we get to make this year, and if not this year, then maybe when will you make that choice? Maybe next year, or maybe 2030? And we can change our minds. People can come in and out of running their own race for Christ. If I think about last year for myself, I'd encourage you to do the same. If, like, how do you feel for 2025? Do you feel like you ran the race Christ set out for you? My answer would be no. I probably did not. And that's something I can make a different choice about this year. So when we read in Philippians 3, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's optional. It's not salvation. We don't strain to run a race for salvation. It's not a salvation issue, it's a maturity and a looking heavenwards issue and choice that we get to make about sharing the good news. So we run the race, you could say maybe from before, if you're a Christian here, maybe before you ran a race, but it was probably the worldly race. We're consumed with the world around us and we live the race that's set by the world. Now, as Christians, we're called to like throw off all of that and not run the race that looks like the world's race, but actually choose to run the race Christ has set out for us. In my study Bible, it had a little quote which I thought made sense for me of what running the race looks like. And it said, in this life, we don't live up to the full measure of God's goodness, but we can strive to live up to that which we have already attained. So if you think about why would I choose to run the race Christ has set out for me this year? Then, yeah, we won't measure up to the fullness of God's goodness, but we can strive to that of which we have already attained, the victory and the peace and the love and the goodness of what we have already attained in Christ. We can strive towards seeing that become a reality in our life. So run the race is, in fact, has all the makings. If you remove Christ from it and you'd think about running the race in a secular sense of like a bestseller, like it's very living your best life, making great decisions, successful living type stuff. And that's what we're called like not to do. So I encourage you to keep Christ always at the centre of whatever race you choose to run this year. And if we choose to run the race of Christ, then make sure that he is always at the centre of everything we do, because it can be very easy to sort of not remove the layer of Christ, but become a bit mixed up in making running the race look purely secular and purely like a good life or a successful life. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. So I reflect on my own choices, and I encourage you to do the same, on how I live for Christ, specifically around evangelism. I'm thinking, what, do I listen to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit prompts me? No, I often do not. Probably more often no than yes, if I'm being honest. Do I talk to non-Christians? Do I reach out? What does my daily choices look like that would show that I'm choosing to run the race Christ has set before me? And again, we're not in competition with any other believer, because your personality, your talents and your gifts, which we often declare as Christians are from God. We often talk about our gifts and talents that God has given us and how, but then how do we live our life as though those gifts and talents truly are from God? How do I outwork the gifts and talents in my life to show that I'm running the race he has set before me with the very gifts I declare he has given me? So somebody chooses to use their gifts to share God's love, we aren't running as though one of us will win the prize. We actually will all win a prize if we live our life centred around Christ, forgetting what is behind and straining to what's ahead. Paul writes that he does not consider himself to have taken hold of it yet, But one thing he does is forget what's behind and strain towards the goal. God's always calling us forward. God called Paul heavenward in Christ Jesus. The race is always forward focused, always. It always involves movement, direction, and action, which is makes perfect sense. This is our Christian life that we are living out and choosing to become a disciple of Christ, becoming a better disciple or a closer disciple of Christ. All of that means moving forward and forward focused. And without Christ, the theme is really great godly wisdom, but it's ultimately really secular and void of any power. In 2 Timothy 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. So remember that we don't want to get caught up in the doing of stuff, like earning things. It's about Christ at the centre of. Living a good life, sure. Living by good Christian standards, sure. Or righteous and holy, maybe. But how much of that is centred on Christ? Is there the layer of Christ's power over our life? Or are we running the secular race of the world? Or are we choosing to run the race that Christ has set out before us? What if you were created with a special role to play based on your personalities, your gifts, your talents, your job, your career, your family, where you happen to find yourself in this very moment in life, to be the light exactly where you happen to be right now? That's the challenge for me personally. In my own life, I feel that challenge. So how do I be the light exactly where I happen to be at the moment without waiting to be somewhere else? Like, how do we take the gifts and talents that Christ has given us, our network, you know, the people we see, our lives, our jobs, and become the light of Christ exactly where we happen to be today? As much as it might be nice, we aren't called to kind of move to a mountaintop sanctuary and live out our Christian days in seclusion and quiet and peace with nature. I know that appeals to many people. It probably appeals to me as well. It'd be a nice thing to do. It's a holiday, but I encourage you not to live there the rest of your life, because there's others to hear about the good news too. Or is it just for us? Do we get the good news of Christ and get to just to hoard it away and keep it and hide it away? That seems the opposite of what Christ would actually ask us to do, and certainly the opposite of what his word tells us to do with the gift that we have received freely from him, is to share it with others. I won't tell you the exact circumstances of the story because it's not really relevant, but running the race, even as a topic for me, is incredibly personal, and I have spent many years of my life even saying to myself, that's not my race. At different stages in my life, to avoid distraction, sort of getting off course or making decisions that I feel are probably wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of key points in my life, I know there's times where I have even comforted and told myself in the Lord that this is not my race. That is not my race. This is your race. This is not your race. Because it can be so easy to get caught up in everything that goes around us in the world and, in circumstances. So I found that really liberating and freeing to decide not to, when you come up against things in life and make a conscious decision, is this my race or is this not my race? Can be very freeing because you just make a decision and move on. Like, put something behind you and move on. And don't apologize for it or pine after it or regret it, but decide this is not part of my race or this is part of my race. And I've said that to myself in my head many times over the years. The phrase has just always kind of been a bit of a life saying or quote, I suppose. So if that's helpful, I encourage you in that as well, that even just making decisions of what is your race and what isn't your race can be incredibly liberating and bring you a real sense of freedom. Our souls are literally built for this work. Like, Christ has built us, literally God has created us for this work. In Ecclesiastes 3:9-11, which is, I was so thrilled this scripture makes sense today. It's my favourite scripture from my whole life. Is, what do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Ecclesiastes tells us that God sets eternity in our heart. There's meaning and purpose beyond our toil, even when we can't see the whole picture. And how much better, on a bit of a more practical sense, how much better is a day in your life when that day is just contained to that day? You have a day in your life, you live it like we all do, the sun comes up and goes down. But if you have had a day like this, I hope for most of you recently, because it's rough to not do that, have a day like this often. But when everything else doesn't bleed into it, you have a day that's not caught up in the anxiety of last week or a tragedy from 20 years ago. You have a day that's not worried about tomorrow, or you have a day that's not freaking out about what your life will look in 2036. Like, when you have a day that is just contained to that one day, it's beautiful. And I'm sure if you have had days like that and can look back and reflect and take note of those days, you will agree that that sort of day is like eternity set in our heart. We don't know what's happening from beginning to end, but our day is just our day, and we spend it with Christ, and we spend it in our toil, knowing our toil is for a greater good, even if we can't see it. We go to work and we come home and we feel accomplishment at the end of it. And it's all just in the one day, without all the worries of the world and countries around the world and politics and next week all bleeding in and mucking up our day. It's so easy to let everything else bleed into that one day. But I believe Ecclesiastes, this scripture, which speaks to me, is that what if you just kept that day just like it is? Take the value of your day and be grateful for it just in the boundaries that it has. And the scripture goes on after that to say, which I love, it says something like, what better is there for man in his life than to do good work? Like, what better is there than to have a good day where we are close with Christ and we're not worrying about next week or tomorrow or decades time? So I encourage you to choose to run the race this year. If you ran it before, then I encourage you to do it again. If you feel like you are, then God bless you, because I'm sure you are living the fullest of Christian life that you can, and you'll have much to share in testimonies of how this is changing your world. Because there's work to be done, amen? Let's read in John 4. Jesus says, John 4:34, "My food," says Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It is still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together." And then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering." This is Paul speaking. "And the time as my departure has come near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race and I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." There is a reward, people. How good is this? There's a prize for the runners. Paul speaks of the crown of righteousness that awaits us, a reward not just for him, but for all who long for Christ's appearing. There's something ahead in eternity, and there's reward there. God is so good to us. I love this, that everybody gets a prize at the end. Like, there's probably one thing about modern life that's not great, that everybody gets a prize, but in God's kingdom, they do. In God's kingdom, you run your race, you get a prize. All of us do. I love that. His kingdom is always the opposite to the world around us. When I looked at one of the commentaries on this passage, it had a few insights to share about this, about the passage in Timothy when Paul was sharing. Paul envisioned an award ceremony where he would receive the crown that awaited for him. Paul was about to be condemned and executed by an earthly court, but he was also going to be rewarded by a heavenly Lord. This is probably the last letter the apostle ever wrote, and it's impossible to see him in a more advantageous point of view than he now appears, standing on the verge of eternity, full of God and strongly anticipating an eternity of glory. Some feel Paul was too focused on rewards, that it isn't proper for Christians to think much about rewards that they'll receive in heaven. But God has no problem motivating us with heavenly reward and encouraging us heavenward. It will be worth it. We must hang in there now. We will be rewarded. Everybody gets a prize. Choosing to run the race takes action on our behalf if we choose to. And I can't stress that enough. And I said before, this is not a salvation issue. The race starts when you become a Christian, you ask Christ into your heart. Your race begins then. But it actually requires action. And like, it's solely focused on action. To become better at sharing his love with others. Nothing about running the race is passive at all. No one who runs a race is passive in an earthly sense, as an analogy. Look at the life of an athlete. They don't talk about running a race and they don't read about running a race. They don't watch a documentary on running a race. They actually go out and run a race. I heard somebody say once, which I thought made perfect sense, about taking action in your life and doing things, which are scary. That's the point of why we don't, if you're like me and struggle with evangelistic pursuits, and you don't because maybe you're scared, also me, then we have to actually do it or it means nothing. So I can't read about evangelism in the Word of God. I can't read about others who have ran their race. I can't write an essay on running the race or evangelism, but never actually do anything of action myself, because then that race is not run. You can't research making an incredible recipe you've always wanted to. You can't research it and discuss it with people, write a paper about it, watch a documentary on it, but never actually cook the meal you're desperate to eat and try, because they never actually sit to eat the meal. It means zip, like it doesn't exist without the action. And running the race is only matters when we have action involved with it. We either did it or we didn't do it. We either make the choice to do it and we do it, or we don't do it. And change your mind. You could choose not to and then you can decide to. So it's not finalised. You can choose to and then not. Like, jump in this year and choose to run your race this year. No one who reads about a race or reads about others who ran a race or discussed running a race ever won a prize. Only the runners get a prize. Only the runners get a prize. We otherwise are just spectators to it all. It can be easy to see, like I said before, as a bit of a worldly living your best life. And I encourage you not to do that, because it can pull us off course if we're not thinking about the race that Christ set before us. In Galatians 5:7, it says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who's thrown you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty." Paul asks us, who cut in on us if we were running a good race? Don't let other people throw us off. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." Paul speaks of a time when people won't put up with sound doctrine and choosing instead to what suits their own desires. And I know it can be easy to see it this way, but this isn't a hating on modern life. Because modern life is where the harvest field is. Like, this is not... That's not a look at how terrible the world has become, because if it has, then where are we? Like, if the world has become so bad, where are us following Christ to go and share the good news with others? Modern life is where the mission field is. The darkness of the world is where the mission field is. So don't pine for a place that we are not. Don't pine for a time in history that we are not. Let's be where we are and do the work of an evangelist in the day that we've been given, and feel proud for that effort, knowing that there's a reward in heaven for us. What if we got everything we ever wanted? I put this down thinking, if we consume our lives with what our itching ears want to hear, or we only look for things that make us feel good, you know, all the analogies you can say about the way we live a modern, comfortable life. If we did have that sort of life, if we built for ourselves our best life ever, would we be happy with what we have? I don't know that we would be. If we got everything we ever chased, would we be happy with that? Would our list of things we want to do or get or be stop? Or would the list of things or accomplishments ever end if we did in fact build for ourselves the best life in a secular sense? And I don't know that it would. I don't know the list ever actually ends. There will always be something else. Your ears will always be itching for something else. But there is a crown of reward stored up for us in heaven. We're not running to be saved. We're running because we are saved. Because in the kingdom of God, everybody wins. The same salvation for us is offered that was offered to Paul. The rewards might be different. Our lives are different. Our choices are different. Our race, you could say, is potentially different from each other. But run the race that God has set before you and make him smile this year. One more quote. I want to share another quote with you that I often think about in my life that somebody shared with me years ago, and it's always stuck with me about running a race, which is that you will run the race. No, sorry. No, I'm going to get it wrong. I'll just say it without reading it. You will win the race long if you just stay in the race long enough to win the race. So all of us, you will win your race if you just stay in the race long enough to win the race. So for myself, I think I will win my race if I just stay in it long enough to win the race. So we are all capable, and Christ sets us up for success to partner with him in sharing his love to the world and making disciples of the nations. Musicians can come up, it'd be great, thanks. So in 2 Timothy 4:6 we read, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing." As Paul nears the end of his life here, he speaks about his life as a drink offering. He has fought the good fight and finished the race and kept the faith. The drink offering, I only looked briefly at it. I certainly do not know many things of what there is to say about drink offerings. But when I read briefly about drink offerings in the Old Testament, because that's what some of the studies I read said, but I'm wary of using such black and white language. They weren't often consumed. A drink of, you know, other offerings could be consumed. Meat offerings, grain offerings might be consumed by, people in the temple. Priests, thank you. But drink offerings, not so much. Drink offerings were often added to a meat offering or a grain offering to add it an aroma to it as it was offered. And I like to think of this, and Paul talks about his life as a drink offering poured out for Christ. In my head, I have a picture for myself of an altar with a drink offering poured around like a moat. Like, my life touches every part of Christ. A drink offering is so fluid and flexible, it can go anywhere. So pour out your life to Christ as a drink offering and let it cover like all parts of your life. Don't leave any part of your life aside from Christ, but all parts of your life can be touched by Christ. Just as Paul shared that his whole life has been poured as a drink offering. It's empty, the cup is gone, he is spent. All of it has been for Christ and him alone. If others didn't consume the offering, it was only for God. The offering was only ever for God, not for anybody else's sustenance. It was purely a sacrifice to him. None of us are Paul, and we're not called to be Paul, but the invitation is there for us to run the race, to finish and invite others into Christ's family along the way as well. So our life being poured out, completely giving, no reservations, the liquid completely emptied from the cup, our life totally given to Christ. The call to run the race of discipleship and evangelism isn't, like I said, to have the whole map. It's simply to run the race set out before each of us, every day in and of itself for Christ. Live for heavenly rewards and not worldly rewards. And I want to finish this, that quote I shared near the start that I saw in my study Bible that shares about the race and why we choose to run it, is that in this life, we don't measure to God's goodness. We won't measure to the full measure of God's goodness. But we can strive to live up to the thing we have already attained. We choose to strive towards that which has already been given to us in fullness of Christ Jesus. Amen. but stay on course and run the race Christ put in front of you. Run like someone who wants a crown. There's purpose in the running, and there's a crown promise at the end for all of us. Amen. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.